When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome along to the latest Academy show here on the Blood Red channel. I'm Matt Addison. Kiefer McDonald is alongside me for today's episode. We've not actually done one of these shows for a little while. The new season has begun, a couple of games for each of the under-18s and the 21s. So we thought it was definitely worth having a bit of a chat about what's been going on, what else you can look out for this season as well. So we start with a standout result, Kiefer, that me and you were both there just over a week or so ago now. Liverpool beat Everton 4-0 at under-21s level. A resounding performance, a resounding scoreline, and a bit of a Bobby Clark show, I would suggest. It was very Bobby Clark heavy, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to see there's no difference between the first teams on the academy level. That divide is still going strong. Like you say, it was an absolute masterclass from Bobby Clark, and you know, me and you were there, Matt, and I think everyone knew it was going to be a big season for him. You know, certainly now with Ben Doak looking like he's stepping up to the first team on a regular basis and probably won't play too much, you know, under-21s football, certainly in the short term. And, you know, you're looking for someone to kind of stand up and take that mantle, you know, that exciting player to get people off their feet. And firstly, it was a packed out crowd at the academy. I think they were turning people away by the time, you know, we were sat in our seats. And that's kind of the excitement that these players are bringing. And Clark certainly justified that excitement. It was, like I say, he was just from minute one, he was you know, dominated the ball, didn't he? And he was playing on that left-sided number eight role, which is certainly different to the play he first was when he came to the club. He was with the under-18s, he was more of a kind of a flamboyant winger off the left side, cutting in, you know, maybe a number 10 as well. But obviously the under-21s like to kind of replicate the system that Liverpool use at first team level. And I know it's changed now with inverted fullbacks and centre midfielders and whatnot, but the setup is very much a 4-3-3, and Clark started to, you know, look at that path into the first team as a left-sided number eight. And yeah, it was brilliant. He, I think, two assists in the end and a goal for him. You know, really, you know, the first assist for Mudrzalowski to break the deadlock after a first half where Liverpool absolutely dominated, but just couldn't find that final touch in front of goal. But Clark just orchestrated it in the second half. He, you know, run from deep, beat a few Everton players and kind of slots it through to Mudrzalowski, who, you know, another player who's due a big season. A lot of talk about him, and he took it really cool. He takes it around the goalkeeper. And you know, Liverpool then from there didn't really look back. And as I say, Clark just kind of went from strength to strength with that kind of swagger and confidence that we've seen during the summer in the first team. Obviously scored in that 4-0 win against Leicester out in Singapore. And he just looks a class above, really, doesn't he? And I thought it was really interesting what Barry Lewis said after the game. There's a lot of talk about, you know, whether Clark could benefit from a loan, because judging by that performance, he was, you know, head and shoulders above the under-21s level. But Barry obviously referenced Curtis Jones and kind of his pass to the first team and someone who didn't need to go out on loan, and basically said that he had said to his players, you know, look at Curtis Jones. And I think his final season with the under-21s, he'd won the Premier League two player of the year, you know, division-wide award. And Barry basically said to his players, you know, that, you know, you can still catch the manager's eye at this level. You don't need to go out and be doing it in the Championship or League One or League Two, wherever it may be. And that certainly looks like we could be seeing from Clark. He obviously wasn't involved in Friday's 1-1 draw with Derby County, which maybe hints that, you know, he could be kind of dropped between first team and 21s this level. But it very much looks like it's going to be a really exciting season for him. And, you know, I certainly can't wait to see his progression.
Yeah, like yourself, I'm a massive fan of Bobby Clark. I think he is the obvious sort of one to watch, isn't he, along with Ben Doak. But on this show, we like to sort of bring people up to date with a few other bits as well, maybe a few names that they won't have heard of or certainly won't have seen as much of. So we're going to go through and pick out a few different players that we're excited to have a look at this season. We're going to come to our one to watch at the end as well, but there's plenty of ones to watch across the course of the show. So we kind of split them a little bit into a few categories, a couple we've touched on already with Doak and Clark. But another player I wanted to pick out from the preseason was Jarrell Kwanza. I know he's a player that you've had your eye on for a little while. He's obviously been out on loan last season. I was fairly impressed when I caught glimpses of him in League One. He seemed to have adjusted quite well there. But I always think it's a really hard position. Centre-back and centre-forward, obviously he's a defender. It's almost the hardest position to get yourself into the first team in. I think it's going to be a big jump to go up, but he's definitely one that I think people should be looking out for this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you only need to look at his performances on loan at Bristol Rovers last year. And I think, first of all, it's worth noting that Bristol Rovers did have a huge drop off during the second half of the season from January onwards. And I don't think that was anything to do with Kwanza joining. I'm not sure what that was down to. Obviously, don't follow Bristol Rovers religiously, but they were kind of flirting with the playoffs prior to kind of his arrival, and then by the end of it, I think they finished 16th, 17th, 18th kind of thing. So, not a great season from them as a whole. But Kwanza was certainly someone in the second half of the season that Joe Barton was really impressed with, and kind of name checked him on a regular basis, even during defeats. I think it was on his debut or maybe his second game where, Joey Barton, he's had Premier League experience himself, at know what it is to kind of cut it at that level, and he basically said that, Klopp has got a star here and he can kind of be whatever he wants to be, commanding. Obviously, he's got the build, he's athletic, and can play out from the back, comfortable with both feet, something we've seen, during his journey with the academy, really, from under-18s, under-19s to 21s. And as you say, he's probably someone who's gone a bit under the radar because he's not a flash player like Bobby Clark, given the position he plays. I always think with a centre-back, if you go under the radar, it's probably a good thing because you're not making mistakes. You're not, making headlines with scoring goals because that's so hard to do. But he's kind of really grown into it, and I think we saw that during the preseason. I think there was a game against Leicester, or was it Bayern Munich? I can't remember which one it was, but he made a really good recovery tackle. I think he was alongside Matip, and yeah, he just looked so composed. Like I say, happy to receive the ball for either goalkeeper, and he's a difficult one. He's another one who you kind of place into that bracket of would he benefit from a higher loan next season, or would you kind of keep him around? I mean, there's an awful lot of talk about Joel Matip, and I think everyone can probably agree this will be his last season at Liverpool with his contract expiring next summer. So you kind of look at and you think, well, the blueprint Liverpool followed in recent years when, say Ibrahim Konate came to the club, is they like to bed someone in, right from the off and kind of ease that transition like they've done with other areas of the pitch, Luis Diaz when he came in, and Cody Gakpo as well. So you think with Kwanza, they've got someone there who's obviously knows the club, knows the setup, has trained with the first team regularly in recent seasons. He's experienced first team football and maybe the other side of the game, the physical element of it, and maybe back to the wall performance that you get in League One. But also you're now looking at, he's been the captain of the academy in recent years. Could he now maybe sit around and maybe not play too much football, but almost prepare himself for when Matic does go in Liverpool looking for a left-sided or a right-sided centre-half, whichever way they go next summer. They have got one, internally who would step up and do that job. So it certainly is an interesting one. I think surely there'll be plenty of interest in him. I'm sure Liverpool have had numerous inquiries already. I think with a lot of loan players, a lot of players on Liverpool's books in recent years, is that they've shown that the move's got to be right for all parties, that they're not just going to kind of fob them off just in order to get game time. We've seen that, as I say, Jones was someone who they decided that would benefit more from playing here and there rather than cutting it in the Championship or League One, wherever it would have been. Harvey Elliott obviously took a different path to that, given where his kind of profile was at the time. He was viewed as more of a right winger, and obviously had Mohamed Salah there, who's not only Liverpool's best player but very durable and doesn't like to be rested. So you can kind of see there's not a certain blueprint to follow in terms of if they're at a certain age or just get sent out on loan. You look at other players, 21's James Norris, who I think a lot of people would have expected him to have a loan now, but he's kind of just cut around at the academy and had a few introductions with the first team. But I think for Kwanza, if he doesn't go out on loan, which, the deadline is next Friday, there's certainly an opportunity for him there, maybe not immediately, but certainly next summer. And you think Liverpool taking the cup seriously again this year and looking to kind of get deep into those, there'd be perfect opportunity for him to kind of, impress and catch the eye like he did during the summer.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to see what his next step is. And in a similar sort of way, really, though he did miss the preseason, he was away with England. Luke Chambers is one that I'm a massive fan of. I think he is very much up there with Kwanzaa as well. Definitely one to watch. Again, people maybe haven't seen as much of him during the preseason. Haven't seen anything of him in preseason because he wasn't there. I think he had a little bit of an injury and came back late, obviously, with the Euros having taken place. But he's another one, I think, drawing interest from elsewhere, maybe even from Bayer Leverkusen. There's been a few suggestions that there might be interest from abroad and that sort of thing. And again, he feels similar to Kwanzaa, really, in that if Liverpool are looking for a left-sided centre-back to play in this system, I think Luke Chambers is probably even more of a good fit for that kind of left centre-back slash left-back kind of role. He kind of fits that mould. Certainly, it's just a case of whether his ceiling is up there. But let's move on to a few other players as well. We'll come back to a couple more defenders a little bit later on. But just away from the pre-season, a couple of players that we should give a bit of an update on as well in terms of having missed the pre-season but now back from injury. The obvious one, Cade Gordon. We'll touch on him a little bit first. I know he spent the pre-season with the under-18s trying to build up his fitness again. He's been out for 18 months or so, but it's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see what the plan is with him this season, because obviously still very, very talented, just been very, very unlucky up to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And a player I think people have now probably forgotten the size of his impact when he first kind of had that first season with the first team in 21-22. This was a Liverpool side on the brink of history, going for Champions League, Premier League, you know, League Cup, FA Cup glory. And he made himself a staple part of that. Obviously, became Liverpool's second youngest scorer when he scored in the FA Cup against Shrewsbury. I think a week later, when he started the League Cup semi-final first leg against Arsenal, the second leg. I think he was the youngest ever player to start a major semi-final for Liverpool. So that just kind of, you know, tells you the talent, how he's viewed at Liverpool in and around the place. And it was certainly an electric start to his Liverpool career after joining from Derby County a few years ago. And maybe now we've seen that catch up with him. I think it's 16, 17 months out now. And as you say, returned to academy training, I think, at the start of July. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with him, because I think he's perhaps one who could do with a loan. Not initially. I think Liverpool will probably look to get him playing under-21s games, under-18s games, just as many as possible, kind of build him up slowly. And then, you know, by the time it is probably January, you could maybe look at sending him to the Championship or League One or wherever, whatever they think is kind of best for his development. I think it's fair to say Doak has probably leapfrogged him in the pecking order purely just because, you know, he's been fit and Gordon hasn't. But I think Klopp's obviously shown with Doak and even with Gordon at times that he's willing to throw them in. I mean, you look at last week, they needed a goal at Chelsea and he takes Mo Salah off and brings Ben Doak on. So there's certainly a pathway there. And I certainly think Gordon is someone who has been forgotten about, which, you know, it might do him the world of good, maybe just kind of go under the radar a bit and get his head down and get back to full fitness, because he became the star boy of Liverpool's academy, didn't he, for that season. He was really good, really promising, and a very old-fashioned winger, and, you know, likes to get to the touchline, beat his man, and he's got that kind of quality in the final third. I think his numbers for academy, the under-21, so were really good. Remember the FA Youth Cup tie in January 2022, and we were both there, Matt, against Chelsea when they lost 4-3 somehow after being 3-0 up or whatever it was. And I think Gordon scored the opener. And I just remember thinking that night, you know, against an esteemed academy like Chelsea, who, you know, pumped so much money there, he just looked head and shoulders above everyone else. And I think that was the last time I saw him prior to his injury, certainly at academy level. And I remember just thinking he just has a swagger and an aura that he just knows he's above this level. And I just kind of certainly hope for his sake that he's able to kind of get back to that level after such a long time out. But, you know, certainly supporters shouldn't be looking for an immediate return to the first team. I think that the kind of the plan is to build them up with the under 21s. You know, I know Barry and Mark have been kind of really cautious on, you know, playing down his return. Just, you know, even last season when they were getting asked about it, I think, you know, they don't want to put too much expectation on him because, you know, it's such an unprecedented injury for a young lad who's, you know, 17 months out. I mean, I'd be surprised if there's been a period in his life where he hasn't played football for 17 months, given that he was, you know, on Derby's books from a young lad. So, you know, really interesting to see how he gets back to it and hopefully he can return to those levels and certainly be involved in Liverpool's first team, you know, at the back end of the season, you'd hope if he isn't out on loan somewhere else.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a slow integration, isn't it? We've seen that during the pre-season. I think there were some people who maybe thought he might be straight back with the first team, but that obviously wasn't the case. It's going to be a slow burner. But I just looked up his birthday then. He doesn't turn 19 for another couple of months. So it's one of those. He's still very much young enough and still has all of that talent from pre-injury. So hopefully he can get back to his best. And maybe by the end of this season, we are talking about him as being a Ben Doak kind of level of player. But the other player...
Like if he doesn't kick a ball for the first team this year, he'll still only be 19 come next summer, and you know, you'd imagine he'd probably be with the first team tour again wherever they go. And you know, even if he does have to drop down to kind of come back up, that might be best for him to kind of get that confidence back in his body again, because you know, no matter what kind of player you are, we've seen it with lads at the first team as well, when you have such a long time out, it's difficult to kind of hit the ground running and kind of be at full throttle again. So even if he, you know, was to do 6 months with the 21s, you know, train with the first team here and there, and then go to, you know, someone in the Championship, League One, or, you know, even Scotland, somewhere like that, he's still only going to be 19, which just kind of, again, reiterates the talent he has, because it would have been two or three years ago then that he was doing the stuff with the first team at, you know, just turning 17. So as you say, there's just, you know, he's certainly not someone who's running out of time by any means, you know, younger than both of us. So, I'm not sure if that's surprising or what, but it certainly shows that he's, you know, he's got plenty of time left to kind of make a name for himself at Liverpool.
Yeah, unfortunately, quite a lot of the Liverpool players are younger than me now, but it's slowly creeping up on them. But yeah, the other player I was going to mention in terms of returning from injuries, Isaac Mbaya. He was obviously missing for a large portion of last season as well. I know he's another one that has been really, really impressive. I always remember him playing on the right-hand side of a front three against Juventus in the Youth League, but he's obviously more of a right back or a central midfielder. He's one of those that almost was doing the inverted role before it was even a thing, but definitely another talent. Again, one of those that you just hope he's got over this injury. He can slowly integrate himself. And if he can get back to the level that he was sort of 12 months or so ago, Liverpool are going to have another exciting talent to keep an eye on there as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the big thing I always think of when you're trying to make that jump from under 18s to under 21s and then to the first team is being versatile really does help you out. And I don't think anyone kind of underlines that more than probably Isaac Mbaya. As you say, then he's played a whole host of roles. You know, he's played on the right of a front three, he's played centre midfield a few times, and he's even played right back. And I think he's, you know, done a stint at centre half as well. So that always helps your cause, as we've seen with players like Trent Alexander-Arnold when, you know, the academy staff are trying to plot a way to the first team. I think it was the Youth League game, wasn't it? I think it was against Napoli that he got injured and kind of went off just after the hour mark with Liverpool kind of cruising. And I think he uploaded a few photos in the summer of him back into the season maybe of him back to training. I think he shortly after that signed a new contract with the club. So that kind of just reiterates the confidence they have in him. And then, you know, I think he came on against Everton for the final, you know, half an hour, whatever it was, which was really pleasing just to kind of see him, you know, get minutes in the legs. And as I said, with the same kind of thing I've said with Gordon, really, is when you have such a long injury and a long time out, I think it's just really important to kind of build that base level of fitness up again. And with Mbaya, who's, you know, a really explosive player, and obviously given the nature of his injury, that would, you know, impact it. So I think for him now, another one who you probably would have put in contention for a loan move had everything gone, you know, plain sailing last summer. But I think this year, certainly for the first half of the season, as we've said with so many lads, it will be about assessing them internally, seeing where they're at, you know, seeing where their fitness levels are at. You know, is there any kind of drawbacks of the injury given the nature of them and the kind of severity of them, and then maybe eyeing them up for a loan. But yeah, he's a really a player who's really impressed me, and I think he's kind of made the jump from 18s to 21s in recent years. You know, really seamlessly. I can't remember what game it was, but I was sat next to, you know, one of the various scouts that kind of come to the academy, and I won't say which team it was, but he was basically, you know, asking me for a bit of insight into kind of every player, of, you know, what he liked, chances of him making it to the first team. And it got to Mbaya, and I think it was one of those games where he was just making, you know, storming runs down the right, and he said, you know, do you reckon he'll make it to the first team, or he's one who could drop off? And I said, no, I think he's going to be one who's had a chance. And ultimately, I think you know, last summer he got that chance, didn't he? He went to the preseason tour of the Far East, played against United, and, you know, he impressed in that game. And I think he played against Palace the game after as well. So, you know, certainly caught the eyes of not only the EFL scouts that descend on the academy, but also Jurgen Klopp, Pep Linders, and, you know, all the, you know, people who paid big bucks to make decisions on academy players. So, yeah, he's another one I'm really excited to see his return. And you know, hopefully he can get a prolonged period of fitness under his belt and kind of, you know, return to those levels that we saw in 21-22.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, very similar age to Kate Gordon as well. So still only 18 for another few weeks until he turns 19. Definitely one of those to keep an eye on over the next few months. And I'm sure that loan interest will come back again once he's obviously got up to sharpness. I'm sure he'll play at least the first 6 months of the season with Liverpool, but potentially a move possibly on the cards after that. We'll just come on to a couple of other players quickly before we finish up with our one to watch. Trent Kone-Doherty, I wanted to give him a mention. There's a goal which is on Liverpool's Twitter account. I think if anybody hasn't seen that from a week or so ago, that's definitely worth having a look at. Very, very good player. And Mateusz Musiałowski as well is an interesting name. I think probably more than any other player, anybody who ever knows that, I'm sure it's the same for you, but anyone who ever asks about the academy is always asking about him. I think there's definitely, you know, a lot of intrigue about what his next step might be. I think he's slightly older than a couple of these players. I'll check his birthday in just a second, but he was very, very good against Everton as well. He's obviously, you know, got the quality to be able to make that step up for Liverpool. It's not quite happened for him yet, but what do you think the next few months sort of lie ahead for him? Because he was another one that was linked with an exit over the summer. Obviously, hasn't happened yet. Could still happen, but definitely one with talent.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, I've never, in probably my 3 or 4 years, you know, covering the academy seriously, I've never known a player, you know, get social media attraction like Musiałowski. And I think it all kind of stems back to that goal he scored against Newcastle during his debut season. And from that moment on, he was called the Polish Messi or the Polish Hazard, or, you know, whoever you asked was always kind of, you know, saying how good he was. And I think then people dug out his record in Poland prior to his move at Liverpool. And I think he scored an obscene amount of goals in, you know, during his time there. And
I think there was something, wasn't it? I think,
yeah, it was something ridiculous. And I think he was another one who had interest from quite a lot of European clubs, but obviously Liverpool were the ones who were able to kind of tie him down and you know, convince him that Kirby was the best place for his development. But I think he's such a difficult player to assess, because when you watch him, and there's always moments of brilliance where you just think he looks a cut above, but I think they're too few and far between. I remember on his 18th birthday a few years ago, the 21s played at Anfield, October 2021, this would have been, and they beat Arsenal 3-0 that day at Anfield, and Musiałowski was just like a live wire down the left-hand side. And I think he scored two goals, certainly got one. And the second one, or his one in the second half, was a jinking run, you know, kind of typical drop the shoulder, cut inside and kind of thunderbolted with his right foot. And that was on his 18th birthday, one of his kind of first few starts for on the 21s in the Premier League too. And I spoke to him afterwards, and he was, you know, really eager to kind of kick on, said that he'd taken time to adapt in terms of the physicality, and given his kind of low centre of gravity, you know, a lot of difficulties kind of stemmed from that. You know, he was getting marked out of games and was quite ineffective during those early weeks. But after that, I think everyone was thinking, right, now he can kick on and maybe show why there's so much hype around him. But he just hasn't put consistent performances together, and it feels so harsh criticising because he's only 19. I don't think he turns 20 until the back end of this year. So, you know, he's still got plenty of time, and, you know, he could be a late developer, and there certainly is an abundance of talents there. But I just think when you get to 20 and you know, you perhaps haven't played 13 football yet, you know, I think the game is changing now, because, you know, players like Jude Bellingham and, you know, Curtis Jones, and by the time they got to that age, they've probably played 50 times for the first team. And I just think you're constantly playing catch up if you haven't. You know, probably 10 years ago, if you were 22 and you hadn't played for the first team, you could say, well, the door's still open. But, you know, now clubs kind of can pick talent from across the globe. It is really hard to kind of bide your time, isn't it, and wait for that jump if you haven't made it by 18 or 19. And, you know, I think that Everton performance last week, the 4-0 victory, probably summed him up. He had a few chances in the first half where he should have done better. I think he blazed one over the crossbar after some really good work from Bobby Clark. But his goal was just a moment of brilliance, wasn't it, to kind of drop the shoulder and take it around the goalkeeper and slot it into an empty net. But then, you know, the same happened at Alfreton on Friday night when the 21s played against Derby. He blazed a few chances wide. He dragged one in the first half wide. And you just think, that kind of final end product, you know, those numbers. I think since he scored those goals against Arsenal at Anfield, I think he's only scored, you know, I think it's 5 goals for the 21s or 6 goals maybe now for the 21s, which isn't a huge amount in, you know, 18 months, is it really, you know, going on 2 years. I think he's one who could potentially benefit certainly from a loan move, if not, you know, maybe a change of scenery. But I think you'd just like to get him out and see how he fares in the first team environment, playing week in, week out, you know, in a constant, you know, team, in a constant position, rather than kind of being, you know, here, there and everywhere for the academy. But yeah, he's such an interesting one. I don't know what your thoughts are, Matt, but I find him so difficult to assess, and I can't see him ever having a long-term future at Liverpool. I just think the nature of the talent Liverpool have got, you know, even at the moment in terms of their front five, you know, Doak's done so well to break into that. But when you compare Doak, Gordon and Mudryalovski, probably the three brightest, certainly the three most notable academy names, you know, I think that Doak and Gordon have that physical presence that Mudryalovski maybe lacks. I don't know what your kind of thoughts on that are.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair assessment, isn't it? I think he's got all of the raw materials. It's just a case of, can he get that final touch, the final pass or the final shot? Obviously, that's something that Cade Gordon has shown. Like you said before, I can't remember his exact record, but certainly had done it consistently for the 21s. Obviously, Ben Doak, we all know the talent and the consistency of his end product, whether that's a cross or a shot, he tends to make the right decision or certainly get close to it 9 out of 10 times. And maybe Mudryalovski is more like a 4 or 5 times out of 10, and yeah, maybe he just needs to take that next step. But you never know, maybe a loan move or something like that might be of interest to him.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't be looking to, you know, even if his future probably doesn't look like it's going to be at Anfield, I certainly think it would be, wouldn't be wise for Liverpool to cut ties completely. I think it, like you say, a loan move, if that's a, you know, 6 month thing, or, you know, I'd like to see him go out on loan before the end of this window. I always think with the January loans, by the time you've played a few games, it's March and April, and then it's the business end of the season. And I think certainly in the lower leagues, when, you know, jobs are on the line and promotions and relegations, I think their managers do have their favourites. And, you know, asking an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old lad to kind of play, you know, in either of those situations, whether it's a team going for the title or the promotion or relegation, is a big ask. But I think if you can kind of get them in at, you know, certainly the end of August, start of September, they've kind of got a few weeks to bed in, and then boom, you've got, you know, 6-7 months to kind of establish yourself, and 40 odd games, you know, maybe 50 including the cups, to really get your numbers up and kind of turn out games, and, you know, at a professional level, which a lot of them at, you know, 21's level haven't done on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I think he was a little bit unlucky last season as well. I remember he scored, I think definitely scored once, and I remember asking Barry Lutus about him, and he said, you know, it's just a shame now, because the next game he's got this little bit of a knock. It was only a couple of days later. They thought that they couldn't play him. So obviously played safe and wasn't able to be involved. But then just whenever he seems to turn a corner and look to go on a little bit of a run, doesn't quite happen for him in the end. But as we say, still a bit of time left for him to change that. And hopefully that will come sooner rather than later, because he is definitely an exciting player to watch. But just to finish then, we'll come to our ones to watch. Obviously, we've spent the entire podcast talking about ones to watch, but these are the players that we've picked out that are maybe a little bit more under the radar. People will be aware of the names, or maybe not in a couple of cases. But yeah, I'll let you go first, Kiefer. Who is your one to watch specifically over the next few weeks for Liverpool?
I've gone for Callum Scanlon, and he's a player who I think a lot more people have become known to over the last 6 weeks or so. Was obviously included in both Liverpool's camps, one in Germany and later Singapore, and played in a wide range of positions. I think he played on the left of a front three in the first game at Karlsruhe, and then, you know, played left back, which is obviously his natural position. But he's someone who I think is in for a big season. He was disrupted heavily with injuries last time around, and made his Premier League 2 debut, in April, and benefited from Luke Chambers kind of going out on loan, because he got the knockout rounds of the UEFA Youth League and certainly impressed. But I think ever since Liverpool bought him, you know, 2 or 3 years ago from Birmingham City, I think it was 500,000, then he was, you know, 15 kind of at that time, which, you know, kind of shows the faith that Liverpool had in him and his talents. I just think that the left-back position, certainly at the first team level, is one that is probably going to be the biggest opening in, you know, probably the next 12 to 18 months. You look at the question marks, rightly or wrongly, around Andy Robertson, and whether, you know, he still has a long-term future at Liverpool in terms of what Liverpool are looking to do with this new, you know, formation with the box midfielders and, you know, kind of coming into those advanced areas. I think there's certainly more onus now on the left-back being more attacking. It certainly isn't just down to Trent on the right-hand side, which, you know, hasn't always been the case. I think Robertson's obviously provided that balance for Trent in times gone by. So I think, you know, Scanlon is, and, you know, we talk about Chambers as well, you know, two players who have played centre-back before, can play left-back and can also do the job higher up the pitch and have got good numbers to show for it, you know, can beat their man and get a cross in. So, yeah, Callum Scanlon's my one to watch. As I say, a lot more people will be kind of known to him now after his, you know, summer with the first team. But I still think, you know, he played obviously in both Premier League two games, only his second and third starts in that division. So he's due for a big season at Kirby under Barry Lutus. And hopefully, you know, we say now with Luke Chambers, who, you know, perhaps could go on loan in the next 10 days or so before the window closes, there could be a, you know, a serious kind of onus on him to be Liverpool's creative output from left back. Because, you know, Chambers, obviously, if he's not at the club, you think James Norris, but he's played midfield. There isn't too many left backs who've got that experience of playing with the Premier League two lads. So, yeah, it's certainly a big season for him. And as I say, he's one who will be looking to make up for lost time as well, having, you know, missed, I think, 6 months of last season. So, yeah, I think a big season for Callum Scanlon and certainly one I'll be watching close.
Yeah, absolutely in agreement with that. I'm a really big fan of him, actually. I think he just needs to physically bulk out a little bit before he can sort of have a think about maybe a loan or the next step. But definitely over the next few weeks, definitely one to watch in the under-21s. The player that I'm going to go for is probably more of an under-18s player than a 21s. But Jaden Danz is my one. Definitely a player who fits the kind of mould. I'm sure regular viewers of this show will be aware of how much I like a goal-scoring attacking midfielder. Obviously, probably Clark was a one to watch at least once, probably 12 or 18 months ago now. But I think Jaden is one of those where he just excites me. I love watching that kind of player. As I say, he's obviously got the numbers. He's taken a bit more of a leadership role over the last few months of last season and obviously heading into this season as well. So, yeah, one that maybe a fewer people will be aware of, but I think over the course of the next few months, I'm sure people will become more aware of him because, as we've mentioned a couple of times in this podcast, people do tend to get excited if players score goals, and he certainly seems to be on that sort of level. So, anything to add on Jaden Danz before we finish?
No, but the one thing I do like about him is he scores all types of goals, which, you know, might be a bit of a simplistic statement to make, but, you know, whether it be with his head from the penalty spot, left foot, right foot, I think he's shown that he can certainly do all kinds of, you know, finishes. And often the thing I also like about him is he leaves the line on his own, and he's a big lad for his age. I don't know if it's his afro that makes him look bigger than he is or exactly what it, but, you know, whenever you watch him, he does stand out, doesn't he? And he doesn't lack yards, does he, for his height and his kind of physical stature. But yeah, as I say, he's led the line quite a few times on his own when I've watched him. And another one who will probably make that jump along with Lewis Kumas to the 21s, you'd imagine at some point this season, whether that be, you know, January onwards when a few lads maybe head out on loan, who remains to be seen. But, you know, given his goal scoring rate with the under 18s over the last 12 months or so, I would be surprised if he's playing there all season, which, you know, if he could then come make that jump to the 21s, I suppose the sky's the limit because, you know, all of a sudden you're knocking on the door for a pre-season tour or a place in, you know, training on a regular basis at the AXA Centre. So, you know, he's certainly made big strides in recent years, recent months, sorry. But yeah, really exciting player and one, as I say, viewers can expect to kind of see his name come up on the score sheet most weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Very technically gifted. Just a player that I enjoy watching. But all of the players that we've mentioned, I'm sure a big few weeks potentially ahead for them, possibly a couple of loan deals as well. So do keep across all of the transfer news and all of the updates across the Liverpool Echo and Liverpool.com as well. I'm sure there's other players that we've missed out that possibly you want us to talk about. If that is the case, do stick them in the comments and we'll be back in the next few weeks with another one of these Academy shows. I'm sure Keith will be involved, possibly Ian Doyle might be, and Pat Smith potentially might be back to host it as well. But whoever it is, I'm sure we'll keep updating you on all of these players as they continue to progress. But yeah, Kiefer, thank you very much for joining me. I think that's all we've got time for today. So yeah, we shall leave it there. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.